2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 8. The Bible said we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, blessed, God, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus. We've been singing about that for 30 minutes. Oh, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, that we, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We may put that in the scale tonight, see what happens. Here's where I'm going, though, all of that to get to here. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you look at something you can't see? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the holy name of my Savior, I come to you. And God just plain old hillbilly mind. Can't do a thing without you, Lord. But I can do all things through you. Touch me tonight, God. Anoint us afresh and anew. Drop that manna from heaven to feed every person in a pew tonight. Fill my mouth, guard my tongue, save the lost one that's here. God, encourage the saint of God. I pray the church be edified, but most of all, Christ be exalted. We love you. Bless you for this night, this opportunity, and this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. If I may, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Viewing the invisible. Viewing the invisible. How do you see something that's invisible? First of all, let's see the two categories that Paul writes about here and throws all of this into. Are you with me? Now, first, in verse 18, he is wrapping all these verses up, and he begins to expound on this, but he mentions two things in particular. He said, for the things which are seen are temporal. Now, in the first 17 verses here, we have some things mentioned that are temporal. Stay with me. If I can see it, it is temporary. So, verses, stay with me. as introduction on the temporal things, in verses 8 through 12, we have this. We have some things mentioned that are temporal, and these things that are mentioned are these to us. They are burdens. And you know what they are? They are temporary problems. Now, lost friend, if you're here tonight and you're without Christ, you are in a place that, listen, when this life is over, you're going to step into a place that's unimaginable to the human mind. But to us that be in Christ tonight, whatever might come my way, it's not going to stay that way. Hey, Tim, a trailer may fall on you, brother. Bless God, but it won't stay that way. Hey, if you can see it, it's a temporary burden. That thing that comes and confines us, constricts us, causes us to weep and worry, and it separates us from our friends and destroys our testimony. I'm telling you, those things are temporary. The burdens are temporary. I can see it. You know, and under the right microscope or under the right medical equipment, you can see cancer. To the child of God, that's not permanent. We've got temporary burdens. But they sing about it and sing about it. And when you come on down to verses 13 through 15, you're going to see them start. You see Paul referring to something here as a resurrection. You know what that tells me? Bless God, that tells me that one of these days, they may come get old Mike McCoy. They may use Hood Funeral Home or Crossville Memorial, one of them there in my hometown. Put me in a coffin. Roll me up in front of the congregation. I want somebody to preach heaven sweet and hell hot. Hey, take me out there somewhere where a hole's dug in the sod and set me down in that box. But I'll tell you what it is. A burial is only temporary. He's not only speaking of temporary burdens, but he's speaking of a temporary burial, Brother Cass. He's going to resurrect us one of these days. Verse, why is that, preacher? Because when we come down to verse 16, we see something here. We see that we're in a temporary body. How many people in here is over 50 years old tonight? Don't be ashamed of it, girls. Come on. We've got more days behind us than we got ahead of us. My eyes are dim. I went to the dentist the other day. He said, man, you got to have that tooth pulled. I said, oh, doc, help it out. He said, it's beyond help. I said, glory. I said, well, pull it, doc. He said, well, I can't. I got to call the oral surgeon. I said, oh, my word. Temporary. We're in temporary bodies. We don't like to be reminded of that. These things that I can see are temporal. But I don't look at temporary things. I enjoy the beauty. Whoever grew these flowers, are these spectacular or what? Is that beautiful? I wish I could grow flowers like that. I can't even grow grass. You people kill me up here. Your yards are beautiful. Mine's full of acorns and deer. We see some beautiful things, Brother Roger. And God's made some views that's breathtaking. But can I preach just a few more minutes on some things that's eternal? I've got to go down there, Cal, if that's okay. I can't even preach up here. See those things. Those things that we look at. We walk in those hospital rooms. And I see little children that's sick. And if I could, I'd touch them. And they'd get out of bed. But I can't do that. I can pray for them, and sometimes God touches them. He does that. We anointed a little girl with cancer one night in a revival service. And I knew right then. And I don't always know, but sometimes the Holy Ghost will let you know. Right then. I said, my, something just happened right here I can't explain. And it was in a dead, dry service. It wasn't nothing like this. I mean, it was dead and dry. And you know what? The Holy Ghost was still doing His work. It don't take us, it takes Him. The service was over, Brother Todd. The little girl said to her daddy. She said, Daddy, said, would them men pray for me? He said, yeah, well, yes, honey. She said, well, take me up there and let them pray for me. He brought her up front, said, would you anoint this little girl? We poured oil all over her. I said, oh, God, touch her. The next day, I couldn't wait. I didn't hear anything. I said, where was she at? He said, I don't know. I said, well, didn't she get better? He said, well, I don't know, preacher. I've not heard anything. I come back the next night to revival. He said, wait till you hear. I said, you don't even have to tell me. So they took her in there to do that MRI or scan, whatever it was, going to make sure that they were going to operate and be in the, make the right incision in the right place and all, whatever they do. And then wheeled her through the machine and said, oh, something's wrong. Do that again. Whoop. Oh, here's the picture from 2 days ago. Now here's the picture tonight. You tell me something happened. But it's not always that way. I wish it was that way for the children's sake, but God's got a plan I don't understand. But I tell you what He's done. He's given us the ability to see some things that to the world is invisible. The Bible said, as it is written, the eye hath not seen, nor the ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. What does that mean? That means I can't see it with this eye. I see it with the eye of faith. It's invisible to the world. They think this is ridiculous. You can paint yourself red, put a big O on you, shave your head and act silly, and they'll go, whoopee, you're doing good. But come in here, take a laugh, bless God, they'll go, that's a bunch of nuts over there. What's wrong with you people? I'm seeing something the world's not looking at. You know what I see? See? Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. That's an assurance. And it's the evidence of things not seen. Bless God, that's the proof. I've got assurance and I've got proof. I don't know about you, but that's all I need. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So I've now got the Spirit that has opened my eyes, and the Word of God that I can have faith, and the faith that I can see, and it's the proof of things that's not seen. But God, I'm telling you, I'm looking at invisible things tonight. Eternal things. You see, the things that are seen are temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal. You know what I've seen? I see it demonstrated in this place and in other places we're privileged to go. I see this. I see God's demonstration of His eternal love. Now, you can't see that, but you can see the evidence of it. You can see the proof. For God so loved the world, Brother Todd Zach, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, that may be, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm convinced He loves me. Amen. And I'm satisfied it's eternal. Amen. Yes, sir. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Nobody. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake all the day long are we killed. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. If you die and go to hell, you'll die and go to hell, and He'll love you all the way. It's not His love that's lacking. For God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor, bless God, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Your mama may have loved you. A lot of mamas don't love their children today. Your daddy may have loved you. A lot of daddies don't love their children. Many pa and grannies are raising the kids today because the moms and dads are too sorry to do it. So you got big enough to preach like that. I just did. But nobody ever loved you like Jesus does. Thank you, Lord. The man was a dean of a college. He was at the zenith of his career. He's well respected in the community and looked up to, and people sought his advice and counsel on a lot of things. And his wife contracted Alzheimer's. That's a terrible disease. And so a year, he just dropped off the map. Threw it all up. You know what he done? Moved home to take care of her. Said someone from the college paper called one day and said, we'd like to do a report, a story on your situation. If you wouldn't mind, he said, come on over. That'd be fine. They came over and began to interview him. And said toward the end of the interview, the young woman that was doing the interview looked at him and said, don't you miss what you used to do? And he said, well, some, but not much. I don't have time to miss it. I'm too busy taking care of my wife. And said, the girl looked at him and said, well, don't you ever get tired of just doing everything? Everything you've got, you've given for her? Said he began to weep and he looked at her and he said, no, ma'am. I'm not sorry for 1 hour that I've spent taking care of her. You see, you miss, you don't understand. That's my precious. And I'm going to take care of her till there ain't no need to take care of her anymore. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that's the way God looks at us. Praise God. It's an eternal love. He's not going to run out. He'll love you tomorrow just like he does today. He's not going to throw you away. I'm talking about something eternal tonight. Viewing the invisible. Eternal love. It gets better than that. You know what he said? He said that I could have eternal life. I talked to your preacher Friday or Saturday, which I can't even remember which day, but he's coming back from a funeral. Oftentimes when I speak with Brother Cal, he's coming back from a funeral. Well, there was temporary things I was talking about. Had an old man in my church, couldn't read or write. His wife wasn't much better than he was. They received the done. They were both on Medicare and they thought it just covered everything. And you all know that's on that. It doesn't. So he called me. Said, Brother Mike, come over here. Brian, see what this bill is. He said, the hospital sent me something and I know it's bad. He just assumes if you get something from the hospital, it's bad. Yeah. I go over to his house. I read it. I said, yeah, brother. I said, they're saying that you owe him this much money. His wife begins to cry. She says, we can't owe him that. We don't have any money. We can't owe him any money. He said, quit crying. Let me show you what you do. He walked over and grabbed that bill, bodied it up, threw it in the trash can. He said, I'm done with that. Temporary. He never worried about it another minute. Talking about eternal things. Eternal love. Eternal life. Jesus said, if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you shall have eternal life. And he's not talking, you know that, speaking of cannibalism. He's talking about you could live forever if you partake of him. What is he? He's the manna from above. We had communion service the other night, and when that sweet cup touched my lips, the glory bells in my soul go off. Why anyone who professes to be a Christian would want to miss a communion service is beyond me. Because I'm telling you, every time I drink that sweet cup, I'm reminded of how bitter it was for Him. And it gets sweeter every day. I'm talking about eternal life. I'm talking about living beyond this world. And when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Won't that be good? I'm looking, trying to view invisible things by the eye of faith and by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I see eternal love. How He loves me. Pat and I have one son. And that boy couldn't do one thing to make me not love him. Now, I might not approve of what he does. And I might even be upset at some of the things he do. But I'm going to love him till I die. When's that, preacher? Ain't never going to die. Got eternal life. How can something die that's eternal? As I'm viewing an eternal love, an eternal life, but there's one more, and you've sang about it all evening. There's an eternal land. I was dealing with a fellow who's very sick. He's going to die physically. And I was working with him and trying to encourage him. And we'd led him to the Lord. And someone was being a little sarcastic about it. They said, "Now, preacher," said, "I know, but," said, "you're not signing up to go to heaven today." I said, "I'm not going to jump in front of a bus. But I don't preach about a land that I don't intend to visit. And when I get there, bless God, I ain't never going to leave." John said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, from God out of heaven." Yeah, he saw that city. This country boy moving to town one of these days. I've got a preacher friend of mine in my church. He's my unofficial assistant. Hey, I don't have to ask him. He just does things on his own. He'll show up to hospitals. He'll go see sick people. He's a song leader. And I brought him up to Southern Ohio. He'd never been here before. It's hard to get him out of Crossville, Tennessee, just to be honest. We got up here in the hills and hollers. We call them hollers at home. We was driving up the hill and down the hill, around the curve, and he looked over at me and he said, "My, this place reminds me of home." He said, "I didn't know there's anywhere in Ohio would look like this." But what caught me is it reminded him of home. "I'm going to a land, Cal, that I've never stepped into before. But as soon as I get there, there's going to be a lot of things I recognize. It's not going to be unfamiliar. I'm going to see folk I've known all my life. People that know me. And I'm going to see the hands and the face of a Savior that I've only seen on the page of that old holy writ. But I'm going to know exactly who He is. Because ain't nobody else going to look like Him. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. And I'm telling you, friends, I was raised out in the country, raised poor. I'm not ashamed of that. I say praise God for people that's got stuff because we need it. But God will use you. D.L. Moody went to a man one time asking for $1,000. He said, how come, Moody, why do you always come to me? He said, because you have it. I don't certainly go to anyone that doesn't. In my Father's house are many mansions. I know there's an old song said, just give me a cabin. Now, friend, I hate to disappoint you, but there's no cabins there. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. He built this in 7 days. Wonder what that looks like. And if I go, and He did, I will come again, and He will. He that shall come will come. And will not tarry. And receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. You know what that is? That's an eternal land with none of those temporary problems. The old songwriter said it like this. Well, I've heard of a land of joy and peace and wonderful light. A beautiful mansion. The skies ever bright. Where all who believe the Savior dear forever shall stay. And having been saved by grace divine, I'm going that way. I'm headed that way. How about you, friend? Do you know where you're going when you leave this world? What are you looking at? Only the things you see or the things that you're not seeing. You see, there's another land that's unseen by the natural eye. And this land of splendor and glory and without burdens and problems is the land we call heaven. But that other land's a place they call hell. And that same Spirit that reveals that sweet land of glory to us is the same Spirit that will reveal that lake of fire to the lost man. And if he'll respond to that, when God opens your mind and your eye and you understand, you can be saved. But how shall they believe in whom they've not heard? His name is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the sacrifice for the sin of the world, died for every person in the pew tonight. Are you a Christian? If you're not a Christian, friend, the temporary problems and burdens that you experience in this life are going to be multiplied 1,000-fold when you close your eyes in death. I'll tell this story, I'll quit. young man called me I used to work with. And he said, Mike, said, I need to speak with you. Meet me at your church. He would never come to church. I witnessed to him on the job site. He never had time for Christ. He come to church a time or two. I preached out of Jeremiah one Sunday. Never seen him again. That was it. He sat in my office and looked at me and he wept bitterly. He said, my wife has had an affair on me. He said, I've got a pistol in my truck. And he said, I'm going to go kill that guy. He said, then I'm going to kill myself. I said, son, here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. One, you're going to send that boy to hell. And two, you're going to fall headlong right in behind him. He said, yeah, but look what they've done. I said, son, what have you done to Jesus? He said, what do you mean? I said, you sinned against God, just like your wife sinned against you. And God's going to judge you for that. For a few Sundays, he come to church. Things got a little better. Didn't seem like he needed Jesus anymore. Haven't seen him since. Two lands. Two categories. The temporary and the eternal. Where are you going to spend it?